The Times now, 28 minutes to 8. The burning of fossil fuels has driven our economy since the Industrial Revolution 250 years ago. It was then a major turning point in history when we stopped doing things by hand and were able to power machines instead. But that era is now coming to an end. World leaders have made it clear that fossil fuels should be phased out within decades and economies powered by clean energy, renewables and nuclear instead. So how could that be done and what effect will it have? Professor Catherine Mitchell is Professor of Energy Policy at Exeter University. She's here in the studio, and sitting alongside her is Ed Davey, the man who, until last month, was Secretary of State for Energy and Climate Change. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Hi.
Professor Mitchell, first of all, is this, do you think, even doable on the timescale they're talking about?
I think that the sort of domestic energy sector is completely doable. So electricity decarbonised easily by 2050. I think to a degree transport, yes, that's fine. I think as we get further out, it becomes more difficult to see both in terms of flying, but also just in terms of products and consumption. Most of what we use on a day-to-day basis, computers, tables like this, has some form of fossil fuels in it. And that is going to be the really difficult thing to find a replacement for.
Well, I'm not clear from this. Are they talking about a phasing out of emissions and therefore you can burn coal so long as you then capture it and store it in the ground, the development of carbon capture and storage, CCS? Or are they saying no burning of fuels? What's your understanding?
Well, I think the problem is, which we were just talking about, at the moment, the kind of technology basis for allowing us to do this is not really there. CCS, people would say it's completely fine to use fossil fuels because you can use CCS, but actually there are so few plants, and the only ones that are being used are pilots around the world. And so you have to do something with the carbon that you're abstracting when you burn the fossil fuels. And that's fine when you've only got, you know, a few plants. But when you are using CCS for a very large proportion of your energy, then you have to do something with that carbon. And that very rapidly runs out. So at the moment, we don't really know what, if we were to kind of use energy in the same way that we currently do, we don't really have answers for that kind of end of the sort of the century side of things.
Huge problems.
I think that many countries now do almost nothing when they could be reducing their emissions
right
very quickly. And we should be doing that before we worry about anything later on.
And let me bring in Ed Davey here, because I presume that is the significance, really, of yesterday's statement. It is a moment where saying, look, this change is going to happen, and sooner than perhaps you're preparing for.
Well, it's certainly symbolic for the G7, the largest, richest countries in the world who've built their economies on fossil fuels, to say that they've got to get rid of them is definitely historic and symbolic. I think I have two concerns, though, that they're talking about the end of the century, and I don't think climate science says we've got that long. I think we have to move further and faster. And I also worry that if you set targets that are so long, 85 years away, I'm not sure how meaningful they are, and I think it would give some countries an excuse for inaction when we've got to be acting now. We've got to be acting this coming decade. And at the end of this year, we've got the very important climate change summit in Paris, a critical moment. And I hope we're not going to end up at that summit talking about, you know, targets at the end of the century. We need to be talking about targets at the end of the next decade. So countries are committed and have to act now.
But a lot of the people are suggesting that as a result of these comments yesterday, a deal at that conference in Paris in December looks far more likely, where there will be something concrete.
Well, I think a deal has always looked likely, actually, for this December. The question is not whether there's going to be a deal, but what the deal says. And if the deal is a weak deal, which doesn't commit countries to actually take action, so we tackle climate change now in the way that the science says we need to, then I'm afraid it won't be a deal worth having. It's not just any old deal. We need a good deal that actually links our economies and our actions to the scientific evidence. Mm.
Professor Mitchell, is that what is required, that you set the target first and then the industry will follow and create a market that works?
Yes, absolutely. And we need to have a tough target. I do think that in Britain that we look at these things really, you know, in a somewhat different way, because many countries have moved to change, to transform their energy systems far more than we have. And it's all very feasible. It's not a millstone. It's very good for jobs. Prices of energy come down. You know, this is a good thing in terms of innovation and changing. Okay. So,
well, let me go to Davy on that, because you are nodding your head furiously there. You know what it is like inside government. Is the sense that it is a millstone that needs to be put off, or something that was perhaps more optimistic?
Yeah, I mean, I think the technology changes we've seen in recent times, I mean, the massive reduction in the cost of solar, for example, the success we've had in reducing the cost of offshore wind. These sorts of things haven't been taken into account by some people who are in the old way of thinking.
Within the government?
Well, yeah, particularly within the Conservative Party, I should say, but possibly even within the civil service. They don't realise that going green, going low carbon, is actually good for our economies, that we can reduce costs, we can develop this technology faster and quicker than people had thought. And therefore, I think there's a huge opportunity for job creation, as Professor Mitchell talked about, as well as getting clean energy. And that's even before you've added in the benefits of reducing local air pollution, which is hurting our health and the health of our children.
Ed Davey, Professor Catherine Mitchell, thank you both.
Coming up to 22A.